This week's interview is with Eric Barath of the band Indestructible Noise Command, and a band that has that was around in the 80s, had some pretty good releases back then, and then called it quits over about 20 years ago now. And now they're back, and they are definitely have put out a very, very good record entitled Heaven Sent Hellbound. So with that, I present you this interview with Eric Barath of INC. And Eric, it's great to interview you for the show. What is INC doing right now? What is the band up to? And what do you guys currently have going on?
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and everything's happening at breakneck speed, basically. We got back together last February, and then we made a six-song EP. We basically put out ourselves for the industry. A few months after we put that out, we got a deal with Rising Records out of the UK. We finished the album, so we put another six songs together, so it was 12 songs altogether. We gave it to Frederick Nordstrom. We put it out on Rising Records. And Candlelight bought the licensing for North America, so that's a nice break for us. So now we have Candlelight Records for North America putting it out, and we just signed with management. So we have we signed with Rage on the Stage Management. So now we have management, we have the record company in place, and we have great PR. And right now we're negotiating a tour, so I can't really give any details because nothing's official. And you know, this industry, things change from 10 minutes to 10 minutes, so I don't want to jinx anything, but so we're hoping to be out on the road by I would say the start or to middle of fall.
You know, Eric, it was really interesting to read the history of the band, because you guys have a really interesting history dating back quite a long time now, and then you kind of disappeared for a while, then came back. And tell people about the early days of the band, about how when you started out, a little bit about your career as a musician leading up to this point, and you know how you made your comeback. You know, talk a little bit about your musical career so far, and also in the past.
We started out a long time ago. This is a college station, right?
Yeah.
So like probably a lot of the students were being born right around the time we broke up. So we got together in 1985 while we were in high school, and we got signed to Giant Records right as soon as we got out of high school, as soon as we graduated. So we started out young, and so we were all about 18 years old when we put our first record out, Razorback, in 1987. And then a year later, we put out The Visitor, which was our second record in 88. And we play with everybody. I mean, we play with Exodus on their very first tour, Bonded by Blood. We play with Megadeth, their first tour. Played King Diamond. We played with Pantera, actually opened up for us in 1990. So this is like going way back, you know. So we were there from like the start. We were sort of like the roots of Connecticut thrash, because that's where we started out in Connecticut. And it was a fun time, you know. We were just a bunch of young guys, and you know, sadly, it all kind of came to an abrupt end in 1990. We took about a 20-year hiatus. We all remained friends, but we just never really got back together until last year. We had some serious discussions about it, because we were just talking about bands that we played with back in the day, how they're still doing it, and why don't we give it a shot. And so that's how we got back together, but. It's been a long time, and it feels good to be back.
Now, you have a couple of full-length albums from the 80s, and have you talked about reissuing those and remastering them at all?
Yeah, because Giant Records went under. I'm not even sure when, but I would say a few years after we broke up. So, actually, our records are huge collector's items. If you go to, like, eBay, I've seen our albums there for like $200. I've seen we put out a limited edition red vinyl for The Visitor, and that goes for like $500. So you know, it's hard to find our stuff. So what we did was, I was able to get the rights back to everything, and I have it for download now. So if anybody wants to download our first two records from the 80s, you can go to like iTunes and anywhere that has legal downloads. I put that in parentheses, legal downloads. And so, you know, yeah, you can get that just download only now, but we're hoping to remaster everything and reissue everything and actually put stuff back on vinyl again, because I actually miss vinyl. So, I mean, it'd be back on CD, of course, but I want to do some limited edition kind of colored vinyl stuff. You know, it's fun to do that kind of thing. And as you can see, you could have bought our color vinyl for about $25 back in the day and selling it for $500 now. So it's a good investment. I think it's better than the stock market or gold.
Now, everybody's living in different parts of the world, and I'm just curious, how do you guys get together and rehearse? Do you do, like, the Riffworks thing where you could practice through the internet? You know, how does the band get together to write songs, rehearse, and, you know, how do you guys collaborate together being in different parts of the world?
Well, it's been an interesting process, because I live in Cyprus, so I live about 5,000 miles from the rest of the guys, and the way when we first got back together, we did everything through video chat. So I have my own studio set up here in Cyprus. I have a Mac, and I got a bunch of programs that use Riffworks and Reasons, and, you know, so I have everything I need here to write songs, complete songs, bass, drums, guitars, orchestration, anything, and I even have a microphone so I could do some rough vocals. So I do the songs here, and they're like 90% done, and then what I do is I send it to the guys, and we get on video chat, and we kind of discuss things. You know, maybe if Anthony, the other guitar player, maybe he's like, hey, what are you doing in this part? You know, and I'll pick up my guitar and, like, I'll show him in the little video camera, hey, this is the fretting here, you know. And so we work like that. And, you know, that's the great thing about the internet now. It's back in the 80s, we could never do this, you know, and nobody could do this. Everyone has to be in the same room. If you rehearse in a garage or a rehearsal studio, everyone had to be together. But now with technology, you know, we can do emails and we send space, you know, we send stuff back and forth. And so that's how the whole album was written, like that. And actually, we're already writing the second record. It's all done, actually, on my end. I wrote 15, 16 songs already. And so, you know, we just keep passing stuff back and forth. And, yeah, I fly to Connecticut. I was there in May. I was there for a couple of weeks. We did a bunch of PR, and we jammed a bit. And now I'm back here. And then, you know, if we tour, I'll again fly there just to, you know, those guys will rehearse as a foursome, and then I'll just come and rehearse for like a week with them just to plug myself in. But, you know, once if those four guys have it tight, plugging me in is easy. You know, it's just one other guitar player.
By the way, if it makes you feel any better, I was more than alive when you guys started out and then quit. So just so you know that.
Oh, excellent. Well, you know, that's good, because a lot of times, actually, I've been quite impressed, man, because we've done a lot of college interviews, and, you know, I've actually, when I was in the States, just in May, we sat down at a really good station in New Jersey, and I was across from the guy. He was young. I mean, he was, I don't know, maybe 20.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's just a huge INC fan. He wasn't, you know, I think he was just about born when we were breaking up, but the fact that, like, I see a lot more young people, you know, young metalheads kind of like going back to the roots, like trying to figure out where it all came from. You know, I think that's pretty cool. I think maybe things like the Big Four, you know, these kind of tours are kind of sparking interest into, you know, where all this metal came from. Because, you know, it didn't start with Slipknot. I mean, they're a great band, not putting them down or anything. It didn't start with, you know, Bring Me the Horizon. You know, it started with like Exodus and, you know, bands like us that were playing little crappy, you know, clubs in 1986, 85, and a lot of people are going back to it now, you know, and it's really cool. It's really hip that, you know, a lot of young kids are looking, they're trying to find, you know, they're collecting these records, they're buying vinyl, and so it's I think the old school has gotten kind of hot again.
I've been doing this show for a while, about 13 years now, and it's amazing because I talk to kids, and it's amazing when you look at trends and look at what's come and gone. It's amazing to watch kids listen to music that came out well before even they were even conceived of, you know, and I think that's kind of cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there was that new metal phase about 15 years ago. About 15 years ago, you know, Korn kind of brought it in and Limp Bizkit and stuff. And you know, everything was in a circle. I always find, like, no matter what genre it is, you know, I mean, people went back to disco at one point. Remember, it was like in the 70s, disco was hot, and in the 80s, disco sucks. And then, like, everything kind of went back to disco again in, like, the 90s. So, you know, everything goes in a circle. And now everything's going back to, like, old school thrash, old school metal. Everyone's, you know, you know, all these bands are touring again, you know, Rats on the Road again, and, you know, I see Metal Church, and all these bands are, like, you know, they're still doing it, and it's cool, you know. I think, you know, like I said, the Big Four has definitely sparked a lot of interest. You know, the crowds there are interesting, because it's like, you know, people in their 40s who came up with those bands, and then they bring their kids, you know, and so it's like the next generation is kind of getting an education on, you know, sort of the roots of thrash, roots of power metal, all this stuff, so it's kind of cool.
Now, Eric, I'm a musician myself, and when you're apart from people in a band, you know, or when you're in a band, you get like a chemistry with them, a musical chemistry, and, you know, my question for you is this, is that when you guys got the back together, you hadn't been around, for quite some time, and was there any uncertainty coming back? I mean, did you have any type of feelings like, oh my God, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? I mean, what were your feelings going into this? And, you know, how did you know that this was going to work the second time around when you got back together with these guys?
The only uncertainty that I had was when Dennis and I first discussed, like, hey, you know, let's get the band back together. I wasn't 100% sure I could still write thrash, because I hadn't written thrash for like so long, and so I actually sat down with my little studio and I came up with Full Metal Jacket. That was the first song I actually wrote for the new INC, and I wrote it in like 45 minutes, you know, and it was just like, Jesus, this is easy, you know. It just kind of, it was so natural, you know, like I never stopped doing it. And after that, it just, things just picked up, you know. The album was written quite quickly. It didn't take much like effort, you know. It was like we never broke up, really, you know. So after Full Metal Jacket, everything really just fell into place, and, you know, everything just got along real well, and the two new guys were cool. So, you know, everything's been perfect, you know. I mean, no problems at all. And like I said, we're still writing, you know. I mean, you know, once I wrote Full Metal Jacket, like the floodgates opened, you know, I guess I had like 20 years of songs in me that I didn't know about. And, you know, I mean, I've written, like, since then, since that first song, like 30 some odd songs, and I still keep writing today. So, yeah, you know, everything feels totally right. So nothing's been forced, and everything just feels really smooth, and, you know, everything's moving forward well.
Now, did you do anything musically between the time INC broke up and now?
Yeah. Once INC broke up, I played in various metal bands, and then I played in kind of like a rock band, you know, kind of like a trippy kind of band, and I played in like a heavy industrial metal kind of band. So I kind of made the rounds, you know. I like different types of music. I've always been into many different styles, so I kind of wanted to try different styles and see if I kind of fit in. And I kind of fit in a few different bands, but, you know, now that the band's back together, I could definitely tell you that this is where I belong, you know. And the rest of the guys can say the same for themselves. They all try different styles of music as well. And, you know, now that we're back together, we're just, you know, this feels like this is where we should be.
Coming back together for the first time in a long time as a band, what were some of the biggest challenges for you to make this really work out for everybody?
Well, there hasn't been any challenges, really. The challenge will be doing a lot of touring, because two of the original members, Dennis and Anthony, are both firefighters, you know? So that's the sort of the challenge. It's they could go on tour, but they can't go on tour, obviously, for 3-4 months at a time, you know? They got to be there for training, and, you know, firefighters have certain quotas, and you got to, so, you know, we could go out for like 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, and then we have to come back for like a month, and then we could go back out for 2, 3, 4 weeks. So we have to do smaller hits, you know. We can't really go on the road. Like, if we were 21, we would just get in a van and tour for 3 years straight, you know. So that's going to be the challenge, you know, just, you know, because being a firefighter, you have your pension, you know, all this stuff. It's, and you know, Anthony's been on the force for like 16 years or something, and he started out really young, and Dennis is on the force for like 13 years or something, so obviously they can't just up and quit, you know, because they got so much tied into it. And so that's the balancing act, you know. Now that there's for jobs and families, of course, you know, we're all married, so you know, you always got to take those things into consideration. And but, you know, we're definitely looking forward to go on the road. I mean, We're all in great shape. We all kind of just tried to, you know, stay as young as possible over the years. So, you know, we stayed off of drugs and went to working out, you know. So we're looking forward to just, like, hitting the road and just showing people that, you know, a bunch of 40-year-old dudes could kill it, you know, like anybody else on the stage.
I find this kind of interesting, but in all curiosity, why did you decide to move to Cyprus?
About 8 years ago, well, I got married about 12 years ago, and my wife was from here, you know. So, you know, her family had a bunch of business opportunities, and my work wasn't going really anywhere. I was a machinist, and business was really dead, and plus I hated doing it, you know. I kind of just did it because my dad did it. And so I was like, you know, I was always in the type to say, you know, let's just try it. What the hell? You know, I've gone all over the U.S. the same way. Let's just, you know, I just got on a plane and I went to, like, Tucson one day. Let's just try Tucson, you know. So, I mean, I said, let's try Cyprus. Let's give it a shot. And it all worked out, you know. So I've been here for 8 years, and it's a beautiful island. I mean, it's, you know, just imagine a Greek island, you know. It's sunny here, like, 8 months in a row, and not a drop of rain, you know, beaches, tons of tourists, everyone's topless, so you can't really beat the scenery.
Within the last, like, 5 years, there are so many really good thrash metal bands making comebacks and putting out some outstanding records, and even when you look at the article of my top 50 releases of last year, you see a lot of those releases up there, because a lot of them are great. And did you follow any of this, and did any of this inspire you guys as a band to reform?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't really kept up on the thrash scene until we got back into it. And now that, you know, we got back into the waters, I went back and I wanted to see what some of the bands I liked back in the day are doing. And the new Forbidden album, I think, is amazing, you know. We actually played with Forbidden once in 89, I think. So, yeah, and new Forbidden albums is great. So, yeah, I mean, once we got back into it, I sort of looked up all the old bands that I got into. The new Onslaught is really good. You know, there's so much great old school thrash coming out with, you know, I think they're all doing sort of what we're doing. Is they kept a lot of that old flavor. There's, you know, there's a little bit of a new twist with everybody. Because, you know, I mean, we all kind of mature as writers. And so, you know, the writing, you know, my writing obviously is not going to stay exactly as it was when I was in high school, you know. I mean, I have different perspective on an outlook on things. And of course, technology has changed. So now you could get a really great sound for, you know, back in the day, to get a sound like we have on this record, you'd need $100,000, you know. But now technology is much better. It's made recording a lot cheaper. And so, you know, everyone's got, like, a little bit of a modern twist on the sound as well, and it's cool. I like it. I like the old school, but with a little bit of a new, you know. It's like an old car that has been slightly, like, refurbished, you know.
Now, what was the response like for you guys as a band when you came back? Did you have a lot of your old fans come back? Did you get a lot of new people into the band? You know, talk a little bit about what the response was when you guys decided to go and make a comeback.
Well, so I'm on Facebook all the time, you know, and most of our fans are newer fans, but we do have a good amount of our old fans. I constantly get hit up, you know. I got hit up from a dude in Germany. He's like, you know, Jesus, I didn't know you guys were back together, because our album came out in Germany last Friday, and I guess he was in a record store or something, and he saw that we had a record out, and he bought it, and he emailed me how great it was and how great we're back together. So, you know, people, I think it's a little harder to get in touch with the people that were into us in the 80s, because it's been 20-some-odd years, and, you know, they're all married, and they're busy with their lives, whereas, you know, young people are a little more hungry for this. You know, they research it, they're on Facebook, they're on, you know, I mean, they're constantly looking for new bands, so I think younger people will discover us, you know, quicker than our old fans. But our old fans are coming back, you know. Like I said, I would say it's probably like a 20-80 ratio, with 80% of our fans are newer fans, but mature. You know, I find a lot of our fans, because I always check out their Facebook, you know. I want to see, like, what they're into and their age, you know. I like to do my own little research. Mm-hmm. I'm like a geek like that, you know. So, like, you know, most of them are, like, in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're into, like, Anthrax and Pantera and Metallica. like, you know, so a lot of the old school Exodus. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely definitely a lot of new fans, but we're trying to get the word out to the old fans as well. And hopefully when we go on the road, we'll pull some of them in.
Well, I have to say that the album sounds really good. I love the songs. I really like this record, and you guys have come back with a vengeance. And, you know, is this something that's not going to be a one-time thing? I mean, are you guys going to continue to put albums out? And do you guys want to continue doing this?
Well, that's the plan. You know, the plan is to, you know, I want to be on stage at age whatever and, you know, drop dead on stage. You can just bury me, like, under the stage. So, you know, yeah, we're definitely, I'll tell you what, I mean, all the guys, I speak for them all, we're really, like, excited about this. You know, I mean, we're really, we feel great about the music. We just feel great about what we're doing, and absolutely, we hope to be around for a lot longer than the first time. You know, last time was 2 records, and that was it. We're a lot more mature now. We're a lot more patient. We're realists. You know, we understand that the business is really, it sucks. I mean, it's tough. You know, so no one's gonna give you respect until you really, really, you know, earn it. So we've got this first record out, and you know, we'll be looking for a bigger deal for the next record, and. You know, we're definitely hoping to put, you know, another 10, 12 records out afterwards, you know, as long as the industry will have us or life will have us.
Eric, any last words to say to the fans out there listening to this interview right now?
You know, anybody who hears our music, whether it's on your show or another show or on the internet, and, you know, you dig what you're hearing, you know, please support us. Actually, we paid for a lot of this record ourselves, and like I said, you know, a bunch of working guys, you know, firemen and stuff, you know, been working a lot of overtime to you know, be able to fund this whole project, and it helps us if you actually buy the record, or even if you don't want to buy the whole record, just buy a couple tunes on iTunes. They're like $1 each or something, you know. So the record actually breaks in America. It will hit the street on August 9th. So. It's about a month away, so everyone just, you know, please go support us, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing all you guys on the road.